All right, well, this morning, for our Easter sermon, we're going to look at the book of Acts. So if you wish, you can turn to Acts chapter 10. I don't know that I marked it here, so I'll have to find it too. Acts, here we go. Acts chapter 10. And I'm going to read, let me see here. I'll start reading here at verse 23, or 23b. The next day, Peter started out with them, and some of the believers from Joppa went along. The following day, he arrived in Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered the house, Cornelius met him and fell at his feet in reverence. But Peter made him get up. "Stand up," he said. "I'm only a man myself." While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. He said to them, "You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me?" Cornelius answered, "3 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, 'Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us.'" Then Peter began to speak. "I realize now how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses from whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days. My thoughts today are going to focus primarily on Peter's sermon. But I wanted you to have the context of what's happening here. Peter had previously had some visions that seemed kind of odd about animals and a big sheet and stuff like that. This Gentile, Cornelius, had a visit from God, sent for Peter, and Peter showed up. It's an inn. It has really one of the first recorded sermons. I have a bunch of people. I should preach. And they wanted him to. So as we look into this sermon of his, I want us to think about a few things, right? we live in a world that is just divided. We are divided. And we make up all kinds of things to divide us, to separate us, to make us unique, whatever it may be. Be it wealth. Well, you have the big, huge, really nice houses over here in Fenimore, right? So those are kind of the richer people. And you go way across the other side of town, you got the trailer park. And there's kind of a division there. Those people are probably not hanging out a lot. We divide by background, status, wealth, skin color, nationality, whatever it may be. We find things to divide us. And most of them, frankly, are artificial in a lot of ways. Even race. Folks, race isn't really a thing. We're people. 99.9% of our DNA is exactly the same as everybody else's. It's one little pigment. But we will divide over it. We will not associate with someone, maybe, just because of the color of skin. It's weird. Today, as we look at this sermon, God makes one thing unmistakably clear. The gospel is not just for one group of people. It's not for the elite. It's not for the insiders. It's not for the religious professionals. It's for everyone. Everyone. The sermon kind of captures that realization for Peter, when it finally sinks in, the scope, the power of this resurrection we're celebrating today. I said earlier, this changed everything. And it did for Peter. He's standing in the home of Cornelius, a Gentile. Probably just a few days before this, Peter would not have done this. Would have been horrified at the thought of stepping into the house of a Gentile, let alone hang out with them and talk with them and eat with them. So let's walk through this passage together. Five points here. Five. One. Pretty obvious one. God shows no partiality. God does not have favorites. God does not divide. He started with that bold statement. I truly understand now that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, everyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Like I said, this is a major shift, Peter. Major shift. But God had been working at his heart. God had been trying to show him, again, giving these visions of food that could be eaten and things. Was working on him through this vision of Cornelius and this invitation. And he realized finally that God does not play favorites. He does not. Throughout the history of Israel, that seemed to be the case. But even then, the idea, the plan was always the nations. I mean, if you imagine, just to bring it home somewhat. Imagine someone came into our church on a Sunday morning. Big, burly man. Tattoos all over him. Face, arms, scruffy. Says, hi, I'm Bob. Just got done serving my 10-year sentence down here in Boscobel. Oh, 10 years. What does one do to get 10 years? So, what is their natural instinct going to be? Walk up to them, give a big hug, For some, maybe. Others, maybe. Oh, hi. Yeah, there's a nice pew over here. Right? I mean, hey, we do this. We see, we run through a mental list, and we make judgments. I came across a story this week of a pastor said, and he had a church. And a man walked in who was smelled quite noticeably of alcohol.
Again, what's the natural reaction? Step back a bit. In fact, he said most people did. Most people kind of just gave him a little bit of space. Well, there's one man in his church who walked right up to him, gave him a hug, said, "Welcome. Come here, sit with me." And stayed with him the entire service. And the pastor said, "You know what happened? That man came to Christ that day. Not because of a sermon, not because of, you know, wonderful music, a beautiful building, because one man said the gospel is for everyone. Everyone. And it meant something to him." And this is what Peter realized. The grace of God isn't reserved for clean people. Quite the opposite. It's for everyone who would fear God and come to him in faith. Now, again, this doesn't mean everyone's automatically saved. And there are those who would try to go down that path. But it does mean that everyone is equally invited. Everyone. The doors of God's kingdom are wide open for anyone who would step through. Qualifications of whatever, status or wealth or race or whatever it may be, mean nothing. It's about the gospel. I think we should think. You know, are there people that you, that I, maybe have written off? Thinking, they're too far gone. I mean, there's no way that person would come to Jesus. There's no way. I think God's awesome, but, you know, maybe practically speaking, my own heart, I might think, I don't see it happening. You know, God can do what he wants to do. Hey, I'll give you that. But are those people in your lives that maybe you just kind of maybe thought, well, I guess I'll just leave to God. I don't think it's going to work out. Man, don't go there. You know, I have people in my life. I have a couple of classmates that I grew up with. So it's been, 50 some years now. And I've been praying for. And nothing's happened. 50 years. Sometimes I think, you know what? I mean, they're just too stubborn. But that is not how God works. God will work. And he reminds us here that nobody is beyond his reach. So God shows no partiality. Two, we see a message of peace through Jesus Christ. In Peter's sermon, he said, "As for the word has been sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." There's a couple things going on here. It's fascinating that the gospel is framed as a message of peace. So we have peace with God. Any enmity, any barrier between us and him is gone. We can have peace with him, which suggests that maybe there was not peace there, which is kind of scary. There's also peace with each other. Peace between Jew and Gentile, young and old, man, woman, this race, that race, whatever it is, there's peace that comes through this gospel and this good news. And it comes through Jesus Christ, who Peter reminds us here is Lord of all. Not just the Lord of Israel, not just the Lord of those who believe. He is Lord of all, whether you acknowledge it or not. And in that idea of lordship and the power that he has, Peter mentions that he was, as he ministered, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about and did things he did. Good, healing, reconciliation, all this stuff. And God was with him. Jesus didn't just preach truth, he embodied it. He lived it out. He brought healing, he brought hope. He confronted evil. And in all of it, the power of the Holy Spirit was with him. You know, in World War II, on Christmas Eve, World War I, in Christmas Eve of 1914, Okay, Christmas Eve, 1914, World War I. An odd thing happened across Europe as they were fighting. Just spontaneously, there was no formal declaration or anything. Truces popped up. I mean, yeah, again, if you know anything history and you look at some of these battles, I mean, World War I especially, this is brutal fighting. And he's literal digging in, you know, digging trenches and barbed wire and just trying to inch your way forward and shooting back and forth at each other and lobbing. And it's bloody, it's awful, it's dirty. But on Christmas Eve in 1914, both sides, without anyone saying so, put their guns down. And they peeked out over the trenches and looked over their side. And they looked over and looked at the other side too. And they went, Merry Christmas. And they did. They actually got up. They actually walked out in this no man's land between them, where previously there's been nothing but death. And they got together. And they ate together. They sang Christmas carols. They played some soccer. This happened. That's crazy. That's the power of the gospel. I mean, they just, between the two of them, they said, you know, this is Christmas. We're celebrating Jesus. Let's do this. But the peace that Jesus gives us is not a temporary one like that one was. It's eternal. He doesn't stop outward conflict. He heals the inward conflict each of us has between ourselves and our God. He reminds us that Jesus came with power, healing the sick, fixing the brokenhearted, defeating the devil. And he's still doing that. That's what the resurrection tells us. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work today in you. That's what Romans 8 tells us. The same Holy Spirit. So think about that. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you as a believer. What can you not do in this world? Who cannot be reached in this world? What despair can there be? What overwhelming problem could possibly happen when the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead is with us in this way? That's Easter. That's what it's all about. We don't preach a detached, distant Savior. We believe in a Savior who walked on our streets and touched the untouchable and brought peace and healing wherever he went. And that same kingdom of God, what is the good news? The good news is that the kingdom of God is here, and that is what we have. That is what Easter is about. A message of peace with God and with each other. Thirdly, Peter gets to the heart of the gospel, the death and resurrection of Jesus in verses 39 to 41. And he gets right to it. They put him to death by hanging on a tree, but God raised him from the dead and made him to appear. He was crucified. Friday, that wonderful time we had together on Friday, in remembering that the awfulness of it, the weight of it, the horror of a death by crucifixion, a death of shame, a death of suffering. But we know today that is not the end of the story. God raised him from the dead. He's alive. And it wasn't secret. It wasn't just, okay, now go off. People saw it. Jesus was there. They touched him. They ate with him. The doubters came around. And that's the same Jesus that we live and serve today. This is rooted in historical fact. This is not just a good moral story. It's not just an inspirational myth. There's witnesses anchored in time, attested to by real people. And the message is the same. I came across this thing, and you know, true or not, we'll see. But apparently, according to this, There's a gravestone in Indiana with these words. Pause, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be, so prepare for death and follow me. And apparently, somebody put a little note at the bottom of it, said this, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. Right? Okay, yeah, that's probably a good point, Rude. Let's make sure which way. Right, but see, that's the thing. We know where Jesus went. And we can follow him. We follow him. We know where we will end up. We know where we will be. We know the hope that that gives. He didn't just die. He rose. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we know which way to go. And we have the same hope of conquered death and resurrection that he has. This is history. This is real. Our faith is grounded in a real event. And like I said, and I'll say it again, this changes everything. Because if Jesus rose from the dead, then what he said was true. If Jesus rose from the dead, then this power is real. If Jesus rose from the dead, then his offer of eternal life is valid and real. And we can take it. We can take it. That's the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, Paul here, calls then to, again, think about this. He's in a room full of Gentiles, first time hearing the gospel, first time hearing anything. Maybe they're responding. Maybe he got to this death and resurrection part, and people go, oh, that, I want that, please, you know, whatever I got to do, right? We don't know. And then, you know, of course, then what you do is you say amen, you break for dinner, and then later you rope them into some kind of discipleship class and, you know, work on them. Let them know, you know, afterwards kind of what's got to happen. Peter goes right into it. In verse 42, he says, and he commanded us, and I think he's talking them also, to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. See, the gospel is not just good news. It's a mission. It's a calling. It's a vocation in some ways. He didn't just call us to believe and leave it. He called us to proclaim. I mean, have you ever seen a movie that just so struck you, was so amazing, that you're telling everybody you come across about it? You're telling your friends, you call the family, you say, oh, I just saw this movie, you gotta go see it, it's so great. You're standing in the line at Walmart. You say, hey, have you seen that movie? Have you? Oh, you gotta go. You gotta go. It's so good. I've done that. I've been very excited about movies. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you just had such a great experience? The food was so good. And everybody you come across, you say, oh, you would not believe the meal I had over at so-and-so's. Now, I've done that. Sherry and I were on our honeymoon in Belize. We went to this restaurant. This old house is wonderful. And I had this like encrusted pork loin with vegetables. Okay, that's 25 years ago, folks. 25 years ago. I can still shut my eyes and just go, oh, that was so good. Boy, that was good. Or even this morning. This very morning, if you were paying attention, if you were listening once, I got to the end of my meal and eating everything, and I saved one thing for last. One thing. My lemon bar. And I took it. And I took a bite. And, oh. Oh, the crust was crispy. and the lemon was tangy, and the sugar on top was sweet, and I am so excited, right? And I'm going to tell people, I'm going to go to work tomorrow, and they're going to hear about the lemon bar I had today, all right? Because it's awesome, right? Why do we are so willing to share such... I don't want your lemon bars are not trivial. They're also trivial things, right? And hesitate to talk about Easter and the risen Christ and the power of the Spirit and the good news that Jesus, the kingdom of God, is here. And yet we do. It's hard sometimes. We so naturally share the awesome things of our lives. A new grandchild is born. We're telling everybody about it. I think the question, a sobering one, but a good one for us all sometimes, is this. Is Easter good news to you? I mean, really? Really good news? The kind that would make you want to tell everybody about? Is the forgiveness of your sins and that weight taken off of you so amazing that you cannot help but live that out and tell others about it? It's a sobering question because I can look back on a week ago or 2 weeks ago and I can think of days, moments, hours in there where maybe that wasn't the first thing in my mind. Or maybe I let an opportunity slip by where someone may mention something and had the perfect opportunity to say, hey, you know, there's hope. Jesus rose from the dead. And I did not take it. Peter understood this is not just an apostle thing. This is for all believers. We're not meant to keep this to ourselves. We are ambassadors for the King. Can you imagine if the U.S. sent an ambassador off somewhere and all they did was stay in their consulate, have dinners with them, you know, their people and their staff, and didn't go out and talk to anybody, didn't meet with anybody, or worse yet, they behaved badly, they're out in the town getting drunk and just doing crazy things. How long is that ambassador going to last? They're representing the United States of America. You get it, right? We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, the risen Savior and Lord. How we act, how we talk, the things we do, the things we say, reflect on Him. What we do represents what Jesus does. Who we are represents who Jesus is. That, folks, to me, can be very, very sobering. But, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Whatever frustrations I might have, whatever fears I may find myself facing, Jesus is risen. He is risen. That power, that same power that raised Him, that is in me. And you know what? We can do this. We can do this. And we want to keep that in our minds because, as Peter said, He's not just the Savior, He is the Judge. One day, every person, you, me, our neighbors, United States, Canada, Mexico, South America, Europe, Asia, Australia, Antarctica, whoever's there, everybody are going to stand before Jesus. They're going to stand there and He will look upon them and judge. And the hope is we'll stand there and look at Him and say, He is risen. And I believe that is the stakes, and these stakes are eternal. So we speak, we share, we invite, not because of we have all the answers. We don't have all the answers. Not because I live out this perfectly. I don't live this out perfectly. But because we know who does. And so we want others to know that too. And then just quickly, one last thing. Peter closes his sermon with this powerful truth. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That is great news. Everyone who believes, that included a Roman centurion, that included all of his family, that included a sometimes doubting, belligerent Peter, that included a scrawny little toe-headed kid from Nevis, Minnesota, who didn't know his left from his right most of the time, and yet God saved him, saved me. Forgiveness is not earned. It's not bought. Forgiveness is received, plain and simple, by faith in Jesus' name. If y'all know who Carrie Ten Boom is, she survived a Nazi concentration camp. And there's a story of her meeting face to face one of the guards from that place, like 10 years later. And that guard asked for her forgiveness after she had seen him torture, kill her friends, her family. And she said that in that moment, she did not have that power to forgive. She did not have the strength to look at that man and say, I forgive you. But she went to him, she took his hand, and she said that the power of Jesus, the love of Jesus, flowed through her. The Spirit of God working on her. And in that moment, she held this man's hand and became aware and felt that and understood and knew what Jesus had done for her. And she forgave. She was overwhelmed by that realization of love through Jesus Christ. Like a tidal wave sweeping over her, and any resistance she would have to forgiveness just went away. That is the power of Christ and the power of the resurrection. Forgiveness is real. It's powerful. It's available. Not just the vertical between us and God, which is amazing and needed. But that same power is available here. You, me, neighbor, friend, family, enemy. Even the most unlikely, that power of forgiveness is there. And that's the point of Peter's sermon. We'll get back to it, right? That no one is too far gone. No one is excluded. No one is separated out of it. No, the cross is wide enough for the entire world to stand upon. This is the heart of the gospel. That no matter who you are or what you've done or where you've come from or what you're doing or going to do, the grace of God is enough for you. This sermon was not just for Cornelius. I can't say that sometimes. Or his family. It's for us. Today on Resurrection Sunday, we know God shows no partiality. The power of the resurrection brings peace. The good news of the gospel is that he died, but he rose again. He calls us then to proclaim these things, and he offers forgiveness to all who would believe. So let me ask, have you received that forgiveness? Have you ever just said, I believe in you, Lord, please forgive me? Maybe you just need a little refresher. He will come. He will take you. Go to him. Forgiveness is there. I would ask you, do you have that peace? Is there peace in your life right now? Are you at peace with your neighbor, your friends, your family? And if you're not, seek the Prince of Peace. Come to him. That same Spirit will be there to mend those things, and he will make that right for you. And then lastly, I would just ask, is this good news to you? And if it is, I mean, if it is as overwhelmingly awesome as I think it is, as we sang about today, you know, as I was several times choked up, I just can't get around that sometimes. Because it's just so awesome. And if that is true, are you ready to share? Are you willing to share? Again, if you're willing, that's the key. You feel, well, I don't know what to do. That's fine. But if this is that good a news, God's Spirit will help you. We've seen it over and over again in God's Word. We've seen it over and over. Stories, men and women, put in situations where they're just not prepared, and yet God's timing is the right timing. And he will give you the power. This is good news for all people. And we have the privilege, we have the joy of proclaiming a risen Christ to everyone.